Today we hear the why that we are here. We know we have the how why, or the how know, the know how, but sometimes we get lost with the know why. We're good at worship, we're good at being able to sing hymns, we're good at being able to follow the order of service up on the wall, we're good at being able to greet each other, we're good at sometimes being able to carry out God's word out into the community. But do we understand why? Sometimes I think we get lost in that. And it's because, you know, we have so much going on in our lives. And we need moments like today, like this sacrament of holy baptism, that helps us to re-ground ourselves to the fact that even though it is very difficult for most people to understand why a God would ever want to do what he has done in giving his son for us so that we may know his love, it's pretty phenomenal. And he has taken this child, this little Hazel, and he says, even before we know what kind of an individual she is going to grow up to be, that he says, I will love you from now on until eternity, which is forever. And that is the same words that he has said to you and I when we came to the font as well. That's the why. The why is that God loves us so much. Jesus also reminds us in the gospel reading for today the why of what he does. People were expecting a Messiah. They had been expecting for a long time. And when Jesus shows up, and when he is baptized, and the heavens opens up, and the dove descends on him, and the voice from heaven says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased, you can bet your bottom dollar that every single person who witnessed that went back and said, I think we have seen the Messiah, or we have seen the one who has been chosen by God. And then Jesus goes off into the wilderness, and each time something happens, we hear from Luke that he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which means that he indeed is the blessed King and which has been called to come forth. And even before the beginning of our gospel starts, it says, and Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, goes and he visits with local synagogues, and everybody is said to praise him for his speaking and his teaching. And so now we come upon the community of Nazareth where he grows up and where people know him. And of course, there's all this expectation that is now being you know, heightened. What will he do for us? What miracles will he work? What will things that he will do that will show us that indeed he's more than just simply the carpenter's son? And yet Jesus is very specific and very clear when he gets up to speak. He quotes from Isaiah 61. And he reads from that Torah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I will give good news to the poor. Listen to the words in which Isaiah proclaims, which Jesus is now embracing to help us understand the why in what he is about to do. When he speaks about good news to the poor, it's not just to those that are economically disadvantaged, but it is also to those who are oppressed, those who are cast off in society, those who are disenfranchised. The very people who sometimes we may feel somewhat a little apprehensive of approaching. Hence the reason we get the story from Corinthians in Paul's letter about the body of Christ, so that we understand that there is no one part that is greater or lesser than the other. And so too is it the community members, not only of this congregation, but of the whole Christian church. We are equally important in God's eyes, even though some of us might like to say Lutherans have preference. But that's not the case. All of us are loved by God. So Jesus already is telling us what his mission is all going to be about. It's not about turning the power of Rome away from Israel. It's not about raising an army. It's not about building a government around him. It is about the fact that he is going to bring good news to the poor, that he is going to bring healing to those to sight to those who are blind. But again, it's not just to those who are blind, but to everybody who has affliction, whether mental or physical, whether we are depressed or whether we feel overwhelmed by the world, whether we feel that no one loves us or whatever it happens to be, Jesus says, I will tend to your needs. He says, I will set the captive free. That's, again, it's not just those who are imprisoned, but also to all of us who are imprisoned by sin. We have no escaping of it. Here again, this is one of the reasons why we should rejoice today with Hazel, because God's promise is upon her that says, I forgive you your sins. Even though you can look at this young little child who hasn't really done much of a peep lately. Quiet. How could she ever sin? Well, just give mom and dad a chance and some time. And we know what can happen. We've all raised kids or we've been around them. We ourselves were kids. We're not perfect. And yet God says, it's okay, I love you. The line that we really need to hear is that Jesus speaks of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. What he's speaking of is the Jubilee year. In Jewish tradition, in ancient Jewish custom, it was traditional that every 50 years would be a celebration in which the fields would be left fallowed, the servants would be allowed to go home, the slaves were set free, the people who owed great debt, the debt was forgiven. No wonder it was called a Jubilee year. And today is a Jubilee for you and I. Every day that we gather together to hear how God has forgiven us and God embraces us in love, and how God reminds us of that with these visible signs of this water and of the bread and the wine that we receive. These are things for us to touch and to feel and to taste. They are ways for us to at least hold on, to grasp what God's grace is all about. And so today you have these gifts that have been given you, and indeed we should treat this as a year of Jubilee. You have been set free. And so today, as we hear Jesus tell us his mission, we hear the why. And that is what you and I are called to do in our own imperfect way. There are no surprises here. Life offers up its struggles and its joys. But through it all, God remains faithful, and God has given us his grace and his love. That's why we're here. That's why we share with others out there. That's why we are called to be patient and compassionate and to love, even when the response is one that is not so loving. It's tough being a Christian, but with God's help, we can do whatever we are called to do. Celebrate today. It's the year of Jubilee. Amen.